As we look at this idea of the incarnation and the idea of Jesus as mediator, we need to understand that we, as a race, as a species, we have a problem. We have a big problem. And the problem is that we are estranged or separated from God. In fact, that is the biggest problem that mankind has. With everything you read these days, if you look in the newspaper, if you go online and hear about the terrible things, and all the terrible things that you don't hear about, of all the things going on this planet, our biggest problem remains that we are separated from God. You see, the truth of the matter is that mankind, we hate God. Romans chapter 8, verses 7 and 8 says this, "For the mind that is set on the flesh," that's every human being apart from Christ, "the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God." Now, this is an interesting thing because even if you can remember before you knew Christ, you probably didn't feel like you hated God. And if you were to go out on the street or to talk to some of your relatives who don't know God and ask them, "Do you hate God?" they would say, "Of course not." Because it doesn't feel like we hate God. We don't have that sense. And yet, Scripture tells us that's the position of people who don't know Him. So we are angry. We hate God. We are hostile to God. God is wrathful towards us. It's not just that we're upset with Him. There's a problem going the other way. Romans 1, verse 18 says this, "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men." His wrath is revealed against all men who are ungodly and unrighteous. In case you were wondering, that's every one of us. His wrath is revealed against us. Now again, I don't think we necessarily feel this. Even before we're Christians, we don't have a sense that God is angry with us. Some people perhaps feel it, but not everyone. I think if you were to walk out on the street and bump into some people who weren't Christians, who didn't know God, and say, "Do you think that God is angry with you? That He's wrathful towards you?" I don't think they would say yes. They'd say, "Well, I'm not that bad of a..." Probably not. Maybe on some days, but not generally. But the truth of the matter is, Scripture tells us God and men are estranged. We are hostile towards Him, and He is wrathful towards us. And we look at this situation and consider what has caused it. What has caused this state of affairs where we are estranged from our Creator? Romans 3:23, we read, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." It is sin that has brought about this situation, in which we are separated from our Creator. There's a distance between us, and there's animosity between us because of sin. Now, it's an interesting thing. We don't think much about sin at Christmas time. I don't think we do. I don't think that a sermon on sin, if I were to give it during the Christmas season, I think would surprise us and perhaps even bother us. Come on, it's Christmas time. Do we need to talk about that now? You know, it's interesting. I've heard rumors and sort of read articles about Christmas being a very difficult time for a lot of people. I found an article in Psychology Today that says, indeed, there is a documented significant increase in depression around Christmas time. Significant increase in depression around Christmas time. There are people who deal with profound loneliness at Christmas time, a sense of futility, a sense of being disconnected from the people around them. And I think we all know that it is also a time of relational conflict. Sometimes these family get-togethers around Christmas time don't always go really well. And we don't talk about sin, and we think about Christmas and how it's difficult. And I think one of the reasons that perhaps we struggle with some of these things around Christmas time is because we don't think about sin. We relegate the thinking about sin into the background, and we forget our lives as we live them. Our lives that are permeated with sin. Our world that is permeated with sin. Perhaps you've heard the story from World War I of a truce that was initiated amongst the soldiers on Christmas Eve. It wasn't something that came down from Germany or from England saying, we're going to have a truce, it's Christmas. It was something initiated by the soldiers themselves who decided Christmas Eve and Christmas Day they weren't going to fight anymore. And in fact, they shared some of the food that they had, some of the drink they had, and across the front, soccer games broke out between the Germans and the English. They had a truce at Christmas time. We need to understand that there never will be a truce at Christmas time, or other words, with sin. Sin, as God told Cain, crouches at the door. It's always waiting. And let me encourage you this Christmas, do not let your guard down in regards to sin. Do not relegate thinking about sin to the background. I think that's why we get caught at Christmas time with a lot of these difficulties. Despite all the beautiful things that happen at Christmas, the beautiful decorations, the wonderful cards and presents and the celebrating, sin is in our midst. Let's be vigilant in our fight against sin. There will be no Christmas time truce with sin. Let's be vigilant to keep fighting our sin. When it rises up in ingratitude, when it rises up in greed or envy or pride or selfishness, all of these things that cause those difficulties which seem to increase at Christmas time, let's be vigilant in our fight against sin. But we have this problem of sin that has separated us from God, and we need a solution, and thankfully it has a solution. Now, I have a picture here, and we'll see if you... Do you recognize this guy? This is the Book for Dummies guy. You know all that series of books for dummies? That's the guy there. Sometimes I feel like that should be my logo, but... I actually looked this up because I was studying the idea of mediation and a mediator, and I thought, I wonder what a mediation for dummies looks like. What would they suggest? How would they suggest a mediator should work? And sure enough, conflict resolution at work for dummies. How to mediate in the workplace. Now, they gave us three steps to look at. The first step, understand the person you're in conflict with. So there needs to be an understanding. Second step, determine how the situation can be rectified. How can we move forward? How do we get there? And then the third step is to be reconciled. And so I'm actually going to use this mediation for dummies as a way to help us understand the solution to the sin problem, to our estrangement for God. The word mediator means someone who is a go-between. Someone who goes between parties that are estranged, that have animosity with each other. The Greek word literally means man in the middle. A mediator is a man in the middle between two groups who are in conflict. Now, if we have a conflict with another human, then a human can work as a go-between. But when we have a conflict with God, a man, a simple man, will not serve. Where or who do we find to mediate between God and between men? We need a God-man. A God-man is necessary to go in between mankind and God and to settle this conflict. First step, and I think we'll see where the incarnation comes and is so important in the idea of mediation and our mediator. The first step is we need to understand the person we're in conflict with. If this is going to be resolved, we need to understand God. We read in John 14, verses 8 and 9, Philip speaking to Jesus said, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? There is a man standing before the disciples, flesh, bone, human nature that says, if you've seen me, You've seen the Father. You want to understand God? You want to know God? Here I am. You can understand me. Hebrews 1 verse 3 says, He, meaning Jesus, is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. That's why the incarnation is important. That's why the enfleshment of the Son of God, the second member of Trinity, is so important. We can know God by looking at Christ. And in fact, He walked among us. And that first step in mediation, understanding who we're in conflict with, is possible because God came to earth so that we could know and understand Him. If we want to see and we want to understand God, which is necessary for us to be mediated between, then we need only look at God come in the flesh, the incarnate Son. Now, the second step was we need to determine how this conflict can be resolved, how this situation can be rectified, and we need to understand that our sin, which separates us from God, needs to be forgiven. But you see, sin requires judgment. Sin against God requires judgment. Jesus, as a true man, could work and did work as a substitute for us. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, For our sake He made Him, Jesus, to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus, because He was man, could become sin for us. And the judgment of sin, death, fell on Christ. Now this was possible because Jesus was not only fully man, but He was fully God. And in being fully God, He was the perfect sacrifice for our sin. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 22 through 24, speaking of Christ, it says, He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in His mouth. When He was reviled, He did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but continued entrusting Himself to Him who judges justly. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed. Hebrews 12 or 10:12 says, When Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, He sat down at the right hand of God. We needed a perfect substitute to pay for our sin. Jesus was perfect. He committed no sin. The reason He could do that was because He was God. And so He was perfect. But He could also work as a substitute for us because He was a man, fully a man. And this is where we see the impact of the incarnation, particularly in Christ's role as mediator. As a go-between to mediate the hostility and the conflict between God and man, we needed a perfect substitute, someone who was fully God and fully man. Jesus, at the incarnation, His birth, His taking on of flesh, fulfilled that. He was our substitute. Now, the third step, we need to be reconciled. We've got a solution. We need to be reconciled. Our sins are forgiven. The wrath is averted. We need to go to Christ. Colossians 2 verse 9 says, For in Him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. Even that phrase, deity dwells bodily, tells us that God had a human body. He took on flesh. And because of that, we can be reconciled to God. Colossians 1, 21 and 22, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, He is now reconciled in His body of flesh. He's brought together in His physical body by His death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before God. It took God becoming human, God taking on flesh, having a human nature, being 100% God and 100% man to reconcile us. He reconciled us in his body as he died for us so that he could present us to God. And really, that's what we celebrate at Christmas time. That's why the incarnation is so significant. Apart from God becoming man, apart from the second member of the Trinity, God the Son, taking on flesh and a human nature, becoming what he was not. Apart from that, we have nothing to bridge the gap between us and God. What a wonderful truth at Christmas time. If you're here this morning and you would say of yourself, you know what, I don't have any sort of relationship with God to speak of. I don't consider myself a Christian, but I'm interested in it. Let me review those steps of mediation for dummies. It's not that you're a dummy, not any more than each and every one of us would be. But consider the fact that you need to understand God. He is our creator. He is the sovereign of the universe. He created mankind. But in our sin, we rebelled against him. In doing things contrary to his will, we separated ourselves from him. And our state apart from Christ is one where he is wrathful towards us and we hate him even if it doesn't feel that way. That's the state we are in. And yet we have a mediator. We have a go-between that can solve this conflict between us and God. And his name is Jesus Christ. And at Christmas time, we celebrate the fact that God became man. And in becoming man, one of the beautiful aspects that we see is he could mediate between us and God. He could substitute as a man himself for mankind. And being God, he was perfect, so he was a perfect sacrifice and could pay for our sins. He paid for those sins in his death so that we might be reconciled to God. If you've never been reconciled to God, let me encourage you, this Christmas is the time for that to happen. The time to submit yourself to him, to trust in him, and to draw you to God. And for the rest of us this morning, let me encourage you that we continue on what we started last week, that we stretch our thinking about Christ and the incarnation, that we understand the incarnation a bit better this week than we did last week, particularly in regards to Christ as mediator. And let the knowledge and the truth of that that settles in on your mind press down on your heart so that your heart is moved in affection for God and it causes you to worship. Let's not stop with the intellectual collection of ideas and thoughts. But by the Spirit, let it move you to worship him. And let me encourage you again. Could you find someone this week to tell them about Christ as mediator? I contacted a couple guys from the school last week, as I said I would, to tell them about the incarnation. I used the same line I used with you guys. I said, what do you think the greatest miracle that God ever did was, assuming that there is a God? It was interesting, one of them right away, the creation of the world. You know, they land on the same spot, even maybe they don't know the Bible as well as they did, but they said that. And I said, well, let me tell you, it could be that, but I think there's a greater miracle. God became man. That's it. I left it at that, left them to think about that. Let me encourage you this week. Could you find someone to share this Christmas time about why Christ came and why it was significant that he became man? You could tell them that this is the one who could mediate between us and God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this morning where we can come and join together and celebrate at Christmas. Celebrate your incarnation. I pray by your Holy Spirit that you would help us in our minds to grasp the truth of the incarnation, particularly as it applies to Christ being a mediator, a go-between. In our hostility towards God and his wrath against us because of our sin, a solution was found in the person of Christ, who was fully God and fully man. Someone who could go between us, who could, in his perfection, be a perfect sacrifice, and in his manhood be a substitute for us. That our sins could be paid for, that we could be forgiven, and that we could be reconciled for God. I thank you for that this morning. Help our minds to lay hold of that, our hearts to be inflamed by those truths, and help us, Lord, this week to get an opportunity to share that wonderful truth with someone who may not know you. In Jesus' name.